Hi, you guys. This is Richard Sachs, your host on Lost Arts Radio. Nice to have you back again. And we have a great show tonight. It's going to be real quick, and it's going to go by in a flash, I think, because we have weeks to talk about, and we're going to try to fit it into about 50 minutes due to our guest schedule. And we're really fortunate. He was just here, you might remember, about 4 years ago. And a lot has happened since then. This is Sheriff Richard Mack. He's got an incredible background, which would take me the whole show to really detail. So I'll just tell you a couple of quick things. He's been a patrol officer, undercover narcotics officer, hostage negotiator, youth officer, school resource officer, communications supervisor, detective, sheriff at Graham County in Arizona, search and rescue supervisor, jail administrator. I'm just looking down so I don't forget anything here. A DARE program instructor, consultant on lots of different kinds of cases, and now a teacher of some very fortunate kids in a school we might get a chance to hear about briefly in history, real history, not the kind they teach in most of the schools now, and government, and a lot more than that. We could talk for the whole show on that, but right now, to narrow it down for what we're going to focus on in the brief few seconds that we've got to talk, I thought it would be good to talk about an organization that Sheriff Mack started called CSPOA, how that started and what it's about, why it's relevant right now, and then about constitutional rights, if we can get into that, because we're in situations more and more where we're being told by the authority figures that the Constitution is fine, except any time they declare an emergency, they let you know which ones of your rights you don't have anymore, and they'll be sure and give them back right away as soon as they can. And I want to get into that a little bit. So welcome, Sheriff Mack, and thanks for the time.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you. So thanks for having me, and I really appreciate that so many people are getting concerned about liberty and freedom. I hope it's not too late.
I do too. And whether it is or not, it feels better to try and do what we can, right?
Absolutely.
Instead of just giving up. So I know this is going to go fast. Let's give a little bit of background about CSPOA, what it is, what it's for, what you hope it will accomplish, and how it works.
Okay, well, I spent 20 years in law enforcement, and the key thing that I did, the only reason I'm with you right now, the only reason you and I know each other is because when I was sheriff in Graham County, I sued the federal government, and it was miraculously a victory against the Clinton administration. So I sued the Clintons and lived to tell about it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's the miracle right there. And it was the first time in American history where a handful of sheriffs, I was the one that started the whole lawsuit, but six other sheriffs across the country joined me in the lawsuit. There's almost 3,100 sheriffs in America.
Okay.
And seven of us fought this. And it was the Brady Bill. And the Brady Bill was the first time in American history where Congress and the president actually promulgated the law that would commandeer the office of sheriff to do federal bidding for free without any negotiation. And as a matter of fact, it carried with it a threat of arrest if we failed to comply.
Wow.
And so all of that's a first time in history. And I really still to this day, 24 years since I filed the lawsuit, every sheriff in the country didn't rise up against it, but so many of them were just too busy taking the federal grants, didn't want to worry.
So the federal government just said, okay, sheriffs, you work for us now. Here are your orders.
Basically. And we don't have to pay you, and we don't have to negotiate. We not work for you. We were their servants. We were just their stepping stone. And so that's why it was even a little bit more rude on their part, is that they didn't even come to negotiate. They just doing it. We made the law, and you have to do it.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, we had a Sheriff's Association meeting in Phoenix at that time, and there's only 15 counties in Arizona. There was only 13 sheriffs at the meeting. And the BATF shows up and hands us a 25-page document from Congress that detailed what our our job was, our duties, and said, hey, this is what you have to do in order to comply with the Brady Bill. And every sheriff in the room was really upset about it. And then when they saw the part about being arrested if we failed to comply, nobody liked it, but I was the only one who decided to really do something about it.
What kind of stuff was it going to make you do under the Brady Bill?
Okay, we had to enforce the whole thing. So we had to do background checks on every single person in our counties that wanted to purchase a handgun. And then we had to keep the track of the records, and then we had to also go after the person if they were, if it was determined that they were criminals. And so it just really loaded us down with a lot more paperwork that we really didn't want in the first place. But again, we had to foot the bill and we had to take the political heat. And so the people who didn't like it, or the gun shop owners, whatever, we had to do the whole thing. And so, and I will tell you right now, it wasn't like it was a major administrative task, but it was a little bit time consuming. It was very annoying. And there was two things that really bothered me with it. One, I was forced to violate my oath for the federal government because clearly the Second Amendment is part of the Constitution. In fact, it's the supreme of the supremos of the Constitution. The reason the founding fathers put the Bill of Rights in the Constitution 2 years later, after they did the Constitution, was because it failed to have a Declaration of Rights that government, just the same as the Magna Carta in the year 1215, when they gave it to the king and said, this is what you can't do. There are certain things you cannot do. Well, the founders came up with 12 things that government could never do. The states ratified 10, and the Bill of Rights actually contains about 27 rights. As you well know, there's 5 in Amendment 1. And so right after freedom of religion, freedom of the press, freedom of speech, right to peaceably assemble, and the right to file petition government for redress of grievances, those 5 basic fundamental principles, then comes the Second Amendment. And now my government's actually requiring me, ordering me under threat of arrest to violate my oath. But probably more importantly, it was my second concern that the federal government has no authority to tell any sheriff in this country what to do. They're not my boss. They can't hire me. They can't fire me. They don't pay my salary. And the decision was extremely powerful, written by Justice Antonin Scalia, saying that the federal government cannot tell us what to do. His quote was that the states are not subject to federal direction. And we're not.
Wow. That's a major statement.
It is. And he quotes the Federalist Papers in the decision. And wow. I'll tell you right now, everybody should get a copy of this decision. You can look it up on the internet. Look up Mack versus U.S. The sheriff that went with me to the Supreme Court was Jay Prince, Sheriff Jay Prince from Ravalli County, Montana. So his name stuck to it more than mine. I don't really know why, but anyway, it was the Mack Prince case. He and I were consolidated at the circuit court in San Francisco, and we went together to the Supreme Court, and I guess some clerk decided not to use both names, and maybe they like Prince better than Mack. I don't know.
Prince, but anyway, P-R-I-N-C-E?
P-R-I-N-T-Z.
T-Z, okay. Yeah.
P-R-I-N-T-Z. And so Google Mack Prince versus U.S., or either one of us, Mack versus U.S., okay. And Cornell University had the best review of the case. It's very comprehensive. But if you want a short, sweet version of it, I did a Reader's Digest version of this Supreme Court decision, and it's on my website at cspoa.org. Stands for Constitutional Sheriffs Peace Officers Association. cspoa.org, and they're really small pocket size. You can get them for a couple of bucks or get 3 for $5 or whatever it is. They're really inexpensive, but they're extremely powerful because when he quotes the Federalist Papers, he literally says that the different governments will control each other. The different governments will control each other. And that's a huge new principle that most people don't get, because the brainwashing that we've been under for the last several decades in this country is that the federal government is supreme.
That's right. In fact, there's something called the Supremacy Clause that people misunderstand, right?
Well, and Scalia addresses the Supremacy Clause, and he says that the different governments actually share supremacy, and that's in the decision. And that the federal government has very little supremacy, and that whatever supremacy there is there, and whatever sovereignty is there, it's dual sovereignty, he calls it. The Constitution established a system of dual sovereignty, that the states and the federal government share sovereignty.
Right, right. And the sovereignty of the federal government should only be where the powers are enumerated that
enumerated.
It belongs to.
Well, he says that in the decision, too. Wow. He says that the federal government was only granted discrete enumerated powers. And so then, and we filed this decision on the 10th Amendment. So we filed on the whole thing that all powers not delegated to the federal government are reserved to the states, respectively, or to the people. And that's what this whole decision was. It was a 10th Amendment victory.
Sounds like Scalia needed to be teaching all the other justices, right?
That's really what he did, I thought. It was a tremendous history lesson. His decision wasn't a political judicial review. It wasn't lawmaking. He just took us through a history lesson as to why the federal government is not our boss and they're not supreme.
Right. Yeah.
The
You mentioned the brainwashing that's been going on for, I mean, several decades, probably a lot longer too.
It is. It's about the last 100 years.
Yeah, and a part of it that you can really see now that's being done largely by the media and the educational system is that the only reason we don't have peace in America is we have guns. And the reason the Brady Bill was so wonderful is it could help to disarm the citizens. And there are millions of people in America that think that, you know, guns are just the cause of everything bad. Is there a way to... If some of those people are a little bit receptive to learning, how to explain to them that that's not exactly accurate?
Well, it's not accurate at all. But I try to not get into the argument whether guns reduce crime, the proliferation of guns reduce crime, or they increase crime. Because you can actually find countries where... Very strict gun control has lower crime rates. You can show countries like that. But you can also do the exact opposite, where guns are very prevalent in some countries, like Switzerland. Yeah. Every home's supposed to have a rifle in it, and a very strong military defensive weapon. And so I would really much rather be like Switzerland than like Japan, where if you ever touch a gun, you go to jail. Yeah. And it's usually these communist countries and very strict totalitarian governments that have all these gun control laws. So I don't get into that too much, except I try to keep it to America. And if you look at America, where guns are most prevalent, crime is at its lowest. And where there's strict gun control laws, crime is at its highest, and gun crime, as a matter of fact. So if you look past the last 20 years, Washington, D.C. had the strictest gun control, and they also had the highest murder rate with guns for a number of years in a row, like 7 or 8 years in a row. Uh-huh. And now Chicago has that dubious honor. And so the states and cities that have very strict gun control in America mm-hmm. have the highest crime rates. But that's as far as I go with that, because I'm going to tell you right now, it really doesn't matter what your statistical analysis is of the possession or the citizens possessing. That really doesn't matter, because it doesn't make it constitutional. It doesn't make it lawful.
Right.
Your statistics on any of those have nothing to do with it. And remarkably and coincidentally, this issue actually came up when I testified at the district court level in the courtroom of one Judge John M. Roll. On a side note, he was later killed in the Safeway parking lot when Gabby Giffords was shot. Well, he was the second person killed, and it's still unknown why he was really there. But a federal district judge going to a political rally would not be normal. Would he be allowed to do it?
Uh-huh.
Well, off duty and he's in plain clothes, probably. But it's very unlikely.
Yeah.
But anyway, he was killed that day. But back when he did this case, there was a lawyer for the federal government who was asking me questions while I was on the stand. And that's the only place that we as sheriffs, as the plaintiffs, ever took the stand. When these were appealed, it went to appellate courts and onto the Supreme Court. We did not testify. Our lawyers took care of that, and all the transcripts of our testimony were submitted, but okay. We never testified again. And,
right.
and I don't think it was really necessary either. It's fine with me.
Right.
We got overturned. All of the sheriffs except one of the original seven, all of us won at the district court case. And then ours got appealed to the Ninth Circuit in San Francisco, and we lost there. Big surprise.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's the most overturned court in America. But this was the key. When I was testifying, the attorney for the federal government really surprised me because I've never seen anything like it. I've been in court thousands of times. And she goes, she started testifying to the judge. She started offering evidence, testimonial evidence. And she said, "Well, Your Honor, in the first 4 months of the implementation of the Brady Bill background checks, we have denied 250,000 felons from getting access to guns in this country." Well, I was looking over at my attorney and said, "Why aren't you objecting?" Well, he was smart. And the judge really went after her, and he pointed his finger at her and he said, "Counselor, do not pretend in this courtroom that your statistical analysis somehow equates to constitutionality."
Wow.
And don't you love that judge?
And, wow, and so, you got a good judge.
Yeah, I have stuck with that ever since then because he's absolutely correct. You can argue all you want to about the statistics of gun ownership.
I think the reason that could be relevant, though, from one point of view, is that these people who argue that guns cause crime and make people go crazy and shoot each other and stuff like that, the reason that could be relevant is because they're using it to say the founders made a mistake and should not have done the Second Amendment.
Okay, get rid of the Second Amendment then. But you want me to tell you the truth there? Even if they get rid of the Second Amendment, I still have the right to keep and bear arms. The Second
That's
Amendment
what the Declaration says, right?
The Second Amendment did not give me that right.
Yes.
The amendments only protect what I was born with. They're only protecting my natural God-given rights.
Exactly.
And I have a natural right to self-protection and self-defense. And I have the right to choose the methodology to best fulfill and complete that self-defense right.
Right.
And so it has nothing to do with statistical analysis, really. I mean, I'll go there, but it's still against the law. Gun control in the United States of America is against the law. And so that's really where they should all stop. And I don't mind getting into the statistics with it, because I can prove, especially with what just happened recently in Texas, there is no response faster or better or more effective than what that off-duty officer, no, he was a former FBI, and he's just a parishioner, and they have a safety committee, and he takes the suspect out in 6 seconds.
Yeah.
So that's a testimonial as to why our schools should be armed, our synagogues and churches should be armed, and that we, the people, should be armed, and that we can come to the aid of police or anybody else that's in trouble, because we, the citizenry, are armed. And this government's supposed to be by, for, and of the people, and we are the ultimate authority, and we are the ones who have authorized our police to carry guns, and we authorize that. How can then our police and government turn around and take it away from us when we're the ones that authorized it in the first place?
They've got to get us to forget who's the boss of who.
Exactly.
Right. Which is kind of what they've done. So I think what you're saying is that there are no God-given rights that a government can legitimately take away.
They cannot. That's correct. And the Second Amendment is number two for a very important reason. It's in there for a very important reason. And ultimately, it protects our right to rebel. And if it ever gets where government is out of line like they were in 1776, we have the right to defend ourselves, our families, and our liberty and our lives.
Right.
And then, as the Declaration of Independence says, we have the right to throw off such government and establish new guards.
Yeah, kind of the responsibility, actually, to do that. Yeah. And I know that countries like Australia and the UK and other places where they've managed to disarm the population, they're saying that, well, everybody knows it's just for hunting. And so you can have a hunting club, you know, and that should take care of it.
Yeah, pretty absurd.
Yeah,
so I don't hunt. I've never been hunting. I don't know about you, but I've never hunted in my life.
No, I'm not. I personally don't eat animals anyway, but
I'll eat the venison, and I don't care who brings it to me, but yeah.
If I wanted to eat deer or something like that, I would think that hunting would be a reasonable part of that.
Sure.
You know, to get it. But so when and why did you start CSPOA, and how does that fit into all this stuff?
Well, it kind of was born out of the lawsuit, and even though it was several years later, I was touring the country. I've written 7 or 8 books, and I was touring the country, and a lot of people were having me come to their Tea Party rallies and freedom rallies. And, you know, I don't think anybody's done more Tea Party rallies than I have. I've done over 125 of them nationwide.
Wow.
And I'm still doing them, and I just got back from one in Reno, Nevada this past weekend. And then next week, I've got some meetings this weekend in Houston. And following that, I have some in Ohio and then Michigan. And hopefully Virginia is coming up. I'm in touch with these sheriffs in Virginia. And just so you know what CSPOA does, I can go from A to Z. I can go to Z right now, and I'll work back to A, B, C, D. But Z is what you see happening right now in Virginia. The sheriff standing against tyrannical government, out-of-control government. And they're telling the governor and the state legislature, we will not enforce these laws. There's even a couple of sheriffs are saying there, and this is what we teach. We're not only not going to go along, we're not going to allow anyone else to enforce these laws in our counties.
That's a critical element to stop.
It is a critical element.
Yeah.
It is. And a lot of them need to understand that you can't sit back and watch somebody else enforce these laws in your county, because you would be violating your oath. And you can't let criminals come in and abuse your citizens. You can't let them come in and confiscate property without due process, taking people's guns and property away from them, complete violation of the Fourth and Fifth Amendment, let alone the Second Amendment. I mean, how many rights, and then the Tenth Amendment? How many rights are we going to allow government to destroy before somebody finally wakes up and does something? Well, we've seen now sheriffs in New Mexico that are doing the same thing as the sheriffs in Virginia. In fact, the New Mexico sheriffs actually did it first. We have sheriffs and chiefs of police doing it in Washington State. We have now thousands of counties and cities across the country that have declared themselves to be sanctuaries for the Second Amendment and the right to bear arms. And it's just taking hold, and it's taking the country by storm. And we're so proud of these sheriffs that have done this. Utah sheriffs have done it. Some Texas sheriffs have done it. And it's going crazy across the country.
So do police chiefs have a harder time doing that than sheriffs because they're employees of the city?
Yeah, they have to check with their city council and the town manager. And this is why the sheriff is the key in this, because he is the chief law enforcement officer of the county. He is the only, why is that? He's the only elected by, for, and of the people. He's the only law enforcement representative in his county that reports directly to the people.
When you say it's the highest in the county, does that include within city jurisdiction over the police, or how does that work?
Yes, he has concurrent jurisdiction with the chief of police. But if you had to go where he had to pull rank, he is the top. He is the top executive of the county.
Okay, so if the police chief said we're going to take away your Second Amendment rights, and the sheriff didn't think that was good, the sheriff could overrule that.
And we've actually seen where that happened a little bit in Milwaukee when Sheriff Clark came out telling everybody in Milwaukee to be armed. Well, the chief of police in Milwaukee said, no, I don't want you to do that. Right. Well, the sheriff continued to do his pleas to the people. We need you to be armed, he said to them. We need you to be ready. We need you to be able to defend this county. And right. And don't sit in your home praying that a cop will come and save you. You save you. Okay? Yeah. And it just made sense. And so Sheriff Clark put that chief of police where, you know, in his place. We certainly hope to get along with chiefs, and we do have chiefs now doing this. In fact, we had a chief of police from Washington at our recent CSPOA convention in Mesa, Arizona, where he was honored as chief of police of the decade because we've had so few chiefs doing it. But now Chief Morningstar called me from Washington, and he's doing it too, and there's quite a few now across the country because they have city councils that feel the same way.
Good. Wow, that's encouraging.
Yeah.
So
let me go back to ABC now.
Okay, yeah, so please.
In 2010, I formed the CSPOA because I saw the need to train sheriffs and chiefs and peace officers, excuse me, to train them in the fulfillment of their oaths of office. And that we actually, for them to understand that we actually have the responsibility and duty to protect our citizens from all enemies, both foreign and domestic. And who do people in this country really think is a danger to my right to keep and bear arms? Criminals, gang members, cartels, the Crips, the Crub, all the different gangs in the country, they might steal my gun. They might take my gun away, but I can go buy another one the very next day. The greatest threat to our right to keep and bear arms is from our own governments, especially the federal government, because they're the ones really getting crazy on this now. But right now, the worst one is Virginia, with this idiot governor and their legislature thinking and wanting people brainwashing again that if law-abiding citizens give up their guns, somehow that's going to make us all safer. Yeah. That's just nonsense.
Yeah, I've seen cartoons where this robber, like a cartoon type robber, breaks in through an old lady's window and sneaks up to her bed to kill her and take all her money and everything. And she's kind of turns over in her sleep and holds up a sign, gun free zone. And he says, rats, and goes
hey,
back.
You can't be in here. Yeah. Can't you read the sign? You can't do that to me.
Right.
You know, and isn't it? I'm still so amazed. How is it that every Democrat in this country and a few Republicans think that a sign on my store door saying no guns allowed is going to do something to keep guns out of there?
Or the school too, right? That's how they protect schools.
Yeah, gun-free zones. How did that work out for us? I mean, the stupidity of this and the insanity of this just absolutely astonishes me.
And it is amazing, yeah.
In 2010, I saw the need and we formed the CSPOA so that we could train sheriffs and peace officers alike, chiefs of police, we don't care, anybody, any public official, and citizens alike. And this is really the big part of this. The key component of this is that citizens get trained to know and understand what their sheriffs and peace officers that work for them are supposed to do.
Yeah.
And so really, the bulk of our memberships with CSPOA are citizens. And that's really where we need them the most. We need citizens to become members of the CSPOA, one, so that they can help us reach their sheriffs and their local officials, and two, so they can help keep us funded. And we're not very well funded at all. We survive on a bare minimum of that each month.
Right.
But if we were funded, this thing would go great guns. Excuse the pun.
Okay, so 2 points. One is, before we get to the funding, that you mentioned the store owners that put the sign up, no guns in this establishment.
Yeah.
It's like logic has been lost, right?
Exactly.
By the media and by the educational system, which teaches people how to be incapable of thinking logically, except for schools like where you are, which we'll talk about later. But It's like any store owner who's listening to this, if you put a sign that says no guns in your store, the only guns that's going to prevent are the good citizens and customers that you have. It's I know it's shocking, but the criminals don't really follow those signs.
No.
So once you grasp that, take down the sign and be armed yourself and learn how to protect your store.
And if you were going into a grocery store and you were in there, and somebody tries to rob the place, don't you hope that maybe a retired cop such as I am armed? Wouldn't you love it that somebody would put an end to this and make sure nobody got shot and that somebody can take this suspect down immediately? Instead, you call 911 and you hope that a cop is close by.
Right.
But the normal response time is 4 to 6 minutes.
Right.
You know how many people can get killed in a grocery store in 4 to 6 minutes?
Exactly. And not just a retired policeman, but a well-trained citizen.
That's my next point. Because there's nothing magic about me being a former cop that somebody else can't do. There's no magic there. You know what? What's the difference between me and somebody else who's had the training? Okay? And we've even had people who've never shot a gun before who have still defended themselves with a gun.
Yeah.
And it works out right. You know what you do? You point and pull the trigger.
Right. And sometimes even without pulling the trigger, it works too.
Well, brandishing usually stops the whole thing.
Yeah.
You're right. Most incidents end when the suspect sees someone with a gun. You don't have to fire it. Not usually.
Okay. So what happens to, since you're the educational organization that's trying to spread this awareness to sheriffs and citizens that can also in turn help educate the sheriffs, how do citizens join and what do they get for joining? What happens?
Well, first you get to help us.
Okay.
The most important thing is that you're helping to restore liberty to America, county by county, one sheriff at a time, state by state. If anybody thinks that liberty and our Constitution are going to be restored in Washington, D.C., well, then I have beachfront property for you in Omaha.
Yeah.
Because it's ridiculous to look at Washington, D.C. and what's going on there. And believe me, I am appreciative of what Trump has tried to do. But can he drain the swamp? No, he can't. It's too big. The Democrats won't allow it. The people there won't allow it. Mm-hmm. And he's not going to be able to drain the swamp. But you know what? Get the entire, give me a third. That's all we need. If you have 1,000 sheriffs in this country, 800 or 900 sheriffs in this country that are standing united for liberty, there is nothing we can't stop. And I'm including the IRS in there. The abuses of the IRS, the abuses of the EPA, the abuses of the FDA, the abuses of FBI, DEA, all of them, OSHA, USDA, doesn't matter who they are. If you want freedom restored to your county, have a constitutional sheriff there. Yeah. I don't care if it's forced vaccinations. I don't care what issue it is. The sheriff is the ultimate authority in your county. If you have any reason to suspect local corruption, you need to go to your sheriff and ask him to investigate it. It should be properly investigated. We have a sheriff right now. She stands about 5'4". She's a former Marine. It's Sheriff Pamela Elliott in Edwards County, Texas. She's arresting people locally for corruption. She's arrested town managers and mayors and other people like that
in local
government who have been totally corrupt.
We need to get her on the show.
Man, you ought to. She's a butt kicker and she's a wonderful lady and she's a member of the CSPOA. As a matter of fact, you need to get the book that I wrote called Are You a David? And I wrote that book specifically to ask all sheriffs if you really are a David, if you'll answer the call as David did going against Goliath. And I put a woman on there to have the dichotomy of, are you a David? And yet she's a female sheriff.
What's her last name again? Pamela what?
Pamela Elliott. Edwards County, Texas. She's a good friend and a good supporter of ours. She's been to our conventions. She spoke at our conventions. And there's plenty more. I would say we've trained about 500 sheriffs in this country.
Okay.
And many of them now are not sheriffs anymore. if we had the money, if we had the funding, we could really take this to every state and have a CSPOA representative in every state. We probably need two or three in California and Texas and Florida and maybe others. But we really need to make this a household name, not just CSPOA, but I want to make it a household name, constitutional sheriff.
And not only are you reversing corruption in the law enforcement industry in general, but you're making it like not only are they not going to be corrupt, they're going to be friends of the people. And not just law enforcement, or not just law enforcement, but peace officers again, right?
A true servant. And the first page of my book, I have a book called The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. And that had a lot to do with kicking off this whole movement. And just a year, year and a half later, after the book, is when I formed the organization, the CSPOA. And everybody, it's CSPOA.org. But on the first page, it says, a quote from Thomas Jefferson, "When all government shall be drawn to Washington as the center of all power, it will render powerless the checks provided and become as venal and oppressive as the government from which we separated," end quote. My question after that is this: when all government shall become oppressive and venal, who can the people turn to for peace, safety, and liberty? Right. If it's not their servant that they hired, that they pay his salary and they give him a review every 4 years to see if he can continue in the job, if it's not the sheriff, please tell me who it is. Right. Because they're so frustrated right now because they don't have any place to go, any place to turn, nobody to help them, nobody to defend them. My goodness, don't you want a constitutional sheriff in your county? Well, join us and get busy.
How many sheriffs are part of the organization at this point?
You know, I really don't know. Right now, as a matter of fact, while you and I are talking, a sheriff texted me. And guess where he's from? He's from Virginia. Huh. And he wants me to come there and do the training. So we're
that
thrilled with
good.
This. Yeah, we're thrilled with this. So hang on and let me see what he says. Ha ha. We're doing training at Liberty University, and he has said that Jerry Falwell has said that he's more than happy to have us come there and train at Liberty University.
Wow, how fantastic.
You'll want to go to that, won't you?
Yeah, so you just need to not have money issues, right?
Yeah, that would really be nice. Because, you know, we could do something like that every week. Every week, but right now it's probably once a month, and we want people more engaged in this whole process, and we want to get other sheriffs where they're actually teaching these classes.
Yeah, exactly. Which becomes kind of your staff, or at least your allies.
Right. Yeah, and we've got to build that. And so right now, I mean, if we had $50,000, $100,000 in the bank. But yeah. I can tell you honestly, I'm very embarrassed by this, but literally we have, let me think what we have right now, we have $1,700 in the bank.
Yeah, that's missing a few zeros, actually.
Yeah, it really is.
You know, all the money, you know, for the most part, is just pouring into these causes that are largely keeping the world enslaved and driving it toward destruction, and I think it would be good to reverse that.
Yeah, and people will be donating to ridiculous amounts to these Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! If I had 1/10, if I had 1/100 of the money that goes into these ridiculous campaigns, we'd be there. And and the only thing holding us back is the funding. Because if we had it, we would be right now. We need to be bigger, better, and faster.
You know what to do if you get the money. In other words.
Yeah. Exactly.
How long does the training last if you go to a town like you were just invited to and train the sheriffs?
Okay, I prefer at least an entire day, but if we can do it, it's actually even better, 2 days. If we're training like a couple of these sheriffs we did in Virginia, we actually did one training in the morning and one training in the afternoon, so all the workers on shift work could get there.
Wow.
And sometimes we've done that 2 days where everybody who could come in the morning comes Friday morning and then Saturday morning. Everybody who can come in the afternoon comes Friday afternoon and then Saturday afternoon.
You know what you need to do with some of that money is once people are trained and then like 6 months later, the sheriffs have to deal with a situation they didn't expect. Right. They need to be able to consult with somebody to say, look, is this the right way to apply what we learned? And here's the unique situation. And right now there's no staff to answer those calls.
Sure, I get those calls all the time. And the thing of it is, I teach school and I can't take all the calls, but my wife takes the calls. And if she gets a sheriff, then as soon as I get out of school, I try to return all the calls.
Okay.
But this good sheriff that just texted me, he and I have been discussing this for a long time. He's been on Fox News lately saying what he said towards the governor and the legislatures, how he won't allow this. And so to the American people, let me ask you, what would you give to have a sheriff like that in your county?
Right, right. Yeah, because the criminals, they're dumb in the sense that they don't realize why not to be a criminal, but they're smart in the sense that they would rather be a criminal where there are no armed citizens.
Oh, of course. Now, are you talking about politicians or street?
No, the other kind, the non-professionals.
Okay, I'm with you.
Which brings up another point, because, you know, there are certain kinds... Well, we've been trained, speaking of training for decades and things, that the Constitution is so great and so important that the government has to declare it by suspending it in emergencies, just so it'll stay safe.
Yeah.
And can you kind of explain that and break the brainwashing a little bit, why that's not true?
Well, Richard, after I heard about that so many times in my career as a peace officer and as a sheriff, I've looked through the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. I've never seen anything that has an exemption clause for emergencies. As a matter of fact, what did we learn about Katrina? When people needed their guns the most during chaos, the government came in and beat up an old lady to get her gun away from her, and they went around door to door, and even on boats, when people were out on their boats, they would stop them. They would stop citizens and take their guns out of their boats.
No, I guess it means they ransack your house to look for guns, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they will. They have. And these people never got those guns back. But seriously, when people needed their guns and to protect their homes and themselves and their families, government was taking them away.
Yeah, really interesting. And there's something wrong with that picture. And I think part of a new, you know, up-to-date basic IQ test could be something about what kind of emergencies justify suspending your God-given rights. List the first 10 that you think are, you know, important.
Well, I mean, you can come out with like things that happen in St. Louis and Ferguson, Missouri, and all these riots and whatnot.
Yeah,
you can come up with a curfew or martial law.
Right.
And martial law is not mentioned in the Constitution either. And so I'm not saying it can't be, and I'm not saying that even I, as sheriff, would not declare martial law if the circumstances called for it, but I never did. I never came close.
Yeah.
We had some riots going on and protests going on in our county, and I never did such a thing.
Yeah.
But the thing of it is, I would never include with that that you have to turn your guns in. I want the citizens armed. I trust the citizens to help me. As a matter of fact, the sheriff is the only one with the authority to deputize people and create a posse.
Right. No other
person in the county has that authority.
It's not just in the old Gunsmoke movies, right? That's still something that's relevant.
It's relevant. Very relevant.
Yeah. And, you know, the martial law thing comes up. Most people don't really understand what it is. It's just transferring the law authority for the moment to military, I guess, instead of the civilian authorities. But it doesn't mean that your rights are taken away.
No.
And right now what's being tested, and we're seeing it, of course, in China, but it's coming here soon, is the idea that health is so important that you just have to give up your rights. I mean, obviously, for the greater good, right?
Yeah, yeah. I've been watching the coronavirus thing. First of all, I don't even know how they came up with the name Corona. I speak Spanish pretty good. Corona means crown.
Yeah, that's true. And coronavirus is not new. It's the kind of virus that they find associated with colds and flu and things like that. This is just new and improved because it was actually manufactured in a lab. And it's absolutely forbidden for you to know about that. But that's what's different about it. And they're saying because of that, and they won't admit that that's where it came from because it might look bad for government, that we've got these projects all over the world, including in the U.S., trying to make organisms that can wipe out humanity. But the idea is that with this new one, it's obvious that we all have to give up our rights so that government can figure out how to save us.
Right. Yeah. And anybody who trusts government officials coming here and saying, like Reagan said, the scariest thing Reagan said was government coming in and say, we're from the government and we're here to take care of you.
Yeah, well, what did he say? 9 words or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's also said something very else that was extremely accurate. Government isn't the solution to the problem. Government is the problem. And when government comes the problem, do we have anybody that will stop that? And the bottom line, the last line of defense against forced inoculations, yeah, against any kind of destruction of our freedom and our rights and our families, the sheriff is the one standing tall, walking tall, and defending us and protecting us against all enemies, foreign and domestic. He's the one to make sure we stay armed.
Yeah, because the sheriff, yeah, plus his backup among the citizens.
Absolutely. And they're his posse. They're his potential posse. And that cannot be overplayed. And the importance of that cannot be overplayed.
You know, one of the things that I imagine you could talk to your students about in the government classes is that what happens when the tyranny extends not only absolutely through government, which it is now, but into corporations as well, and you get a partnership, a de facto partnership between the global corporations and the worst of the governments, and so that the corporations are right now meeting with government agencies in the last few days to take away the remaining freedom of speech, right, and that they are not controlled by government restrictions in the Constitution. And that's been kind of a dilemma, what to do with that, right?
Yeah, it is. And you can go through the Bill of Rights and look at how many have been destroyed, not completely destroyed, but that they have been really damaged by our own government. One other that we saw numerous places, but we saw it at the Bundy situation in Bunkerville, Nevada,
right,
where the government literally made corrals, and they made one corral for cows that they were confiscating from the Bundys, and the other one was for people, us, protesters who wished to express freedom of speech had to do it inside that fenced corral.
Yeah, and of course nobody was over there to listen. That was amazing. I mean, America is supposed to be a free speech zone, isn't it?
That's what I thought. Free speech was anywhere my mouth went.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, just because the Americans have the Constitution and the Declaration, it doesn't mean that everybody else in the world doesn't have the same rights.
Yeah, we all have the same rights. But the thing of it is, just because we have those rights here doesn't mean that they're going to be guaranteed if we don't have people in office who know and understand their oath of office and understand the Constitution itself.
Exactly.
Doesn't that presuppose, if you swear an oath to the Constitution, that you're going to know it, read it, understand it, cherish it, enforce it?
Makes you wonder how many politicians actually ever read the Constitution. And what I've found is that even fewer, maybe even the legislators in your state, read the state Constitution.
Yeah, and both in almost every state guarantee the right to keep and bear arms, even more than the federal Constitution.
Yeah, exactly. And the state Constitution is very relevant because it covers everything that's not a federal enumerated power or an individual enumerated power.
A key component of that, what you're alluding to right there, is look at the first 13 states and look at their constitutions regarding the right to keep and bear arms.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, you'll know where it came from.
Listen, in the last couple of minutes for this session, which I hope we can continue in sequels in the future, because there's some other things to talk about. How do people support and or join the organization? Because they're allowed to donate more than the membership fee if they want to. And the other thing is, how do they get their sheriffs to join the organization as well?
Okay, well, first, take your sheriff a plate of cookies and have a meeting with him and get to know him.
Okay.
And then talk to him. Maybe take him the book, Are You a David? And ask him if he's seen it or read it, or maybe both books, The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope, and Are You a David? They're both pretty short. The sheriff book's only like 50 pages. And I wrote it specifically so nobody could give me this excuse, I just don't have time to read.
Yeah, exactly.
You can read that while you eat a donut, you know? So the next one is ask him, are you a constitutional sheriff and do you know what it means? And depending on his answer, then say, how about if we bring the CSPOA training here and have all of you and your officers trained?
Yeah, that'd be
interesting. And then, of course, we need the money to take that training there.
Right.
So we need to pay for that, don't we? What if the sheriff doesn't have that money in his budget? So, and the training, I will tell you right now, if we brought the whole thing there, that means flights for two or three of us, books enough to give to everybody there that attends, and then a place to stay, and let's say maybe that we put another couple of $1,000s from it into our bank account.
Yeah.
And so stay ready for the next time.
Exactly.
So you're probably talking about $3,500, maybe $4,000.
Okay.
And you just did what? You just created a miracle.
Exactly. And it's going to save people's lives.
Right now, anybody can join and anybody can donate any amount you want. And we take gold, silver, cash. You can do it over the phone with a credit card. If you don't like doing that, send us cash or gold or silver. Don't care.
Okay.
Or you can just do it through PayPal, whatever. We have every possible means that you could do it.
So if somebody has $50 or something, join. If they have a few hundred or a few thousand or a few tens of thousands and you want to do something good with it, donate it to CSPOA.org.
Absolutely. And I will tell you that we're not 501c3. We are
right. So you are allowed by the grace of the government to talk about political issues.
I am. And we are. And quite frankly, we just never really wanted to deal with the IRS and ask them permission to be an organization. And when we became an organization, it was under Obama administration, we probably would have spent thousands of dollars to never get anywhere because Constitution was in our name.
Well, so what kind of official organization are you now? Are you 501c4 or nothing like that?
No, we're just business.
Well, if people want to give you money, the point is not to get some of it back. It's to give it to you.
Yeah, it's not a tax deduction. We're just looking at that. If somebody needs a tax deduction, we could probably send you to one of the companies or organizations that we work with, and then they could donate to us. But there's several of those that are out there that we work with. But I just felt too hypocritical asking and dealing with the IRS, who I totally think is bogus, should not exist. They should be abolished.
Yeah.
And they're the most ruthless criminal organization I've ever known.
Yeah, they're not very friendly. And they're not too interested in the Constitution.
No.
So, there's a lot to talk about. So people can go to CSPOA.org to keep up with what you're doing. And I think you're on some other platforms as well with videos and things, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And we'll send you emails. You'll be part of our email list, and we'll send you a newsletter every month. And we'll let you know what's going on and what's happening. Like right now, with that sheriff's email right now, I'll let everybody know when we're going to Virginia. And if people want to do it from other states or all the people in Virginia who want to come to it, very likely that would be possible.
Well, so you mean even the training that you're going to give to the sheriffs, could non-sheriffs come and have the training too?
We ask the sheriffs, and if they're okay with people coming, then we invite the public.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, you guys support this organization, and hopefully we'll talk again soon. Thank you, Richard. Hold on, and we'll say goodbye in the break here.
Thank you.
Okay, you guys, there goes Sheriff Richard Mack from Arizona. He's working all over the country very diligently trying to educate the county sheriffs, which are one of the last lines of defense to safeguard your rights that don't come from the Constitution, which includes all your rights. None of them come from the Constitution. The neat thing about the Constitution in America and is that not only all Americans, but everybody else, no matter what country you're listening from right now and that you live in, has exactly the same rights. And they all come from God, and none of them come from the government. None of them come from the UN, Declaration or something on human rights, Convention on Human Rights. None of them come from that at all. It's a total hoax. They all come from God, and the sheriffs have a responsibility to defend the citizens in their county, and every other country should set up something like the county sheriffs, in my opinion, because the foundation of it, in terms of your unalienable rights, are already there. You just need some kind of a... See, this is why I'm not an anarchist. There are... And not that I don't really appreciate the work that organizations are doing with friendly voluntarism and things like that, but in the environment that we actually live in right now, it's not a world where everybody's singing sincerely kumbaya. It's not happening right now. You've probably noticed that if you looked around at all. And so the function of government is people of the highest conscious awareness possible and the best motives, you know, and it goes with consciousness. Your motives get good if your consciousness increases, because you realize the depth at which we're all connected, and if you protect somebody else, you're protecting yourself. It's literally the same. It's not a belief system or anything like that. It's how it works. And the county sheriffs in America are what's set up for that. So CSPOA, Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, is a great group founded with really good motives. And I know some of you out there are donors and you have resources and money. If you have a bunch of money, this is a really good thing for you to support, because they're going to be standing between you, your family, your kids, your neighbors, your friends, people that you care about. And if, again, consciousness issue, if you care about everybody as you're supposed to, then the sheriffs are critical. And setting up something similar in other countries is a really good idea, too. So donate to CSPOA. You can go to their website at cspoa.org. And if you live in America, make friends with your county sheriff and educate them. The two books that also generate a few dollars for CSPOA are books by Richard Mack, and there Are You a David, referring to David and Goliath, that story. And because you know the good thing is David won in the story. You probably already heard about that, but I'm just reminding you. Are You a David doesn't mean you're small and you're going to get crushed. It means you're going to win, but you have to be brave, like David was brave in the story. And the other book is The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope, which unfortunately could be an accurate title. And it's not going to be a hope that will get realized unless you find time in your impossible schedule, meet your county sheriff, support them, him or her, whoever it is, and help them learn what their incredible role is in preserving unalienable rights of the citizens in their county. And they can be an example to the other sheriffs in the other counties. And we're in a position now with looming so-called emergencies about to be declared. Well, some have been declared already in America and by WHO and other parts of the world. And the media is not talking about it because they don't want you to get prepared to protect your rights. And the secret is that they also don't want you to understand the way the Constitution is written and what it refers to. You know how many emergencies can be used to take away your rights in a constitutional government? with a good constitution, right, zero. So they can declare emergencies as long as they want, but you have to understand the logic of it, that if it was possible to suspend your rights by declaring an emergency and then the constitution is suspended, then you don't have a constitution. You have a tyranny. And what the founders of America were saying, why America, the idea was so great, even though it hasn't 100% been lived up to yet, and that's our job now, is that the people are the ones who delegate certain powers to the states and to the federal government, but they're the ones in charge, and their rights come from God, and they can never be taken away by any organization like a state or federal government under them. So that's going to be tested. It is being tested, and there's big tests of it coming up really soon. There are plans being put together on different levels of authority of the best way to take away your rights so you don't notice it and you think it's for the greater good. And that's completely false. So this is a good time to get prepared now on many levels. CSPOA is a good element in that preparation. So please support them and encourage other people to do that. And remember that we have Saturday shows now too at 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern. There's a show called Lost Arts Radio Live. Some interesting topics being discussed on that show. And if you have topics you want to be considered for that, just email them in, or questions or anything, comments about previous shows, richard@lostartsradio.com, and we'll read all of them. The Planetary Healing Club meets half an hour after that for people that decided, all right, it's time to actually start with myself. And like Michael Jackson said in his song, Man in the Mirror, start on yourself, upgrade your own life, transform the quality of existence that you have every day, learn how to take care of your health, the forbidden health information that we're not supposed to know about anymore. We're only supposed to know about drugs. This is the real stuff, and it's been around since the very beginning, more than thousands of years, and we can talk about it in that private environment. There's a portal to it at planetaryhealingclub.com, and you're personally invited if you want to be part of it, live, interactive every week, planetaryhealingclub.com, and then our regular site, lostartsradio.com. Get on the mailing list there. That way, if we disappear from various channels for, you know, who knows what reason, in case we ever talk about anything controversial, God forbid, but if we do and we disappear, you can get on our mailing list and stay in touch. Go to Lost Arts Radio and just sign up with a name and an email address, or text your name and email to 928-235-4676, or send it in by email with a name and an email address to info@lostartsradio.com. What else? We have a new Subscribe Star channel that people don't know about very much yet. You can go there and subscribe to our program and help support us on various levels that are explained on that site, subscribestar.com/lostartsradio. And we are also on Brighteon.com, which is an alternative great video platform that is not censoring and is not going to. You can subscribe to our channel there, which I would highly recommend. And that's Brighteon, Brighteon.com, /channel/Lost Arts Radio, and subscribe. That way you'll know when our shows are there, even if they don't show up in the usual other places. We also need money, so if you happen to have resources and you can help us stay on the air and fund our programs, which include a school that we'd like to start building like right now if we had the money, then donate at lostartsradio.com or lostartsresearchinstitute.org. They both have donate buttons. That latter one is our nonprofit site, which you can learn about the school there at the tab that says Eldemar. And on lostartsradio.com, you can also see a tab that says private sessions. If you need those, the money from that goes to support the nonprofit and all of our work. That's at lostartsradio.com in the tab that says private sessions for people that want to upgrade their personal life and they want some focused attention that's just one-on-one. You're welcome to apply for a session there when I have time, or people that want to discuss information on health or life situations. That's private, and we can do it whenever you want to. LostArtsRadio.com, and then that's the private session tab. LostArtsResearchInstitute.org. The Eldemar tab is about the school. I think I remembered everything, and stay in touch with us through the main site and other ways, and let us know what you think. Feedback is always welcome. Richard at LostArtsRadio.com or the contact form on the website. I think that's about it. Support CSPOA, and we'll see you for the next show. Have a good week.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on Subscribestar.com. Just go to Subscribestar.com/Lost Arts Radio to find our rewards program offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sachs, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our Subscribe Star levels are one of a kind and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has three weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on two YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, lostartsradio.com, where you can find the hottest news selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editor's picks videos right on their homepage. Visit Brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. On our site, you can also access our free listener forum as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sachs and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at planetaryhealingclub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Stay tuned, because up next, you'll get to hear a really great song by an independent artist that we're doing our best to support. Go to lostartsradio.com/music for the full list of all the great songs and bands that we spin on our audio-only podcast shows. If you're in a band and want to submit a song for consideration for airplay on Lost Arts Radio, visit my website at diamonddiscaudio.com for more information about the music placement, mastering, and mixing work that I do. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.
Want my sadness to ever show.